Earlier this month, the new exhibit, Katazami Today, Migrations of Japanese Art, opened at the Boise Art Museum. The exhibit centers around a unique Japanese process for dyeing fabrics, and it features seven artists who explore how this method has evolved over time, as well as the culture, and it shares different interpretations of that technique. So joining us today to talk more about the exhibit are Melanie Fales, Executive Director of the Boise Art Museum, Amy Kalupka, Curator of Art at Whatcom Museum, and dyer artist John Marshall. I want to welcome all of you to the program.
Thank you, Gemma. Thank you.
So Amy, let me start with you. How does the process, and I hope I'm saying this right, of Katazami work, how does that work, and what led you to develop an exhibition around this topic?
Sure. Katazome, it's actually in Japan, kata means stencil and zome or some means to dye. So katazome means stencil dye. And it was developed in Japan as a tile dye process that dates back to the 8th century. It's traditionally used for kimono dyeing and involves the arrangement of very complex designs by applying a rice paste resist through hand-carved stencil papers called katagami. So gami means paper. So katagami. The fabric is then painted or soaked with natural or synthetic dyes that are fixed to the fibers of brick. And the excess dyes and the rice paste are then washed away to reveal colorful and permanent patterns on the fabrics. So the various techniques involved have been passed down through generations of artisans in Japan over centuries. And today it's really gaining wide popularity among contemporary artists as a process to express their ideas. And I was aware of their fabric dyeing processes, such as silkscreen or batik or shibori, from previous exhibitions curated. But my colleague and co-curator, Du, who teaches fibers and fabrics at Washington University here in Bellingham, Washington, introduced me to Katazome and the rich history of this process. And that really led us to develop this exhibition and look at contemporary works as well.
So, Melanie, why did you decide that you wanted to bring this particular exhibit to the Boise Art Museum?
Well, I was very excited when Amy shared her plans to organize this exhibition and make it available to travel. As she shared, Katazome really is rooted in history, language, and a long tradition in Japan. And Idaho has a rich Japanese history that began in the late 1800s. When people began immigrating from Japan to the United States. And as you know, Idaho's unfortunate history also includes an incarceration camp at Minidoka during World War II. Japanese Americans and people of Japanese descent have made significant contributions to Idaho's economic development and cultural heritage for well over 150 years. And this exhibition is part of Boise Art Museum's ongoing commitment to celebrating the many cultures and identities that make us a community. And when identifying exhibitions to share with our community, I'm always looking through the lens of the highest degree of artistic integrity and quality, inclusiveness, and artistic risk-taking. And this exhibition meets all these goals. It is exquisitely beautiful while showcasing artists from the United States and across the globe who've really taken this ancient and rare art form of katazome to all new heights in their work. And I really hope people will find it fascinating and inspiring.
And John, let me bring you into the conversation. You're an artist. So how long have you been practicing katazome?
I've been doing this for a little over 50 years now. And I think speaking to what Melanie mentioned about Japanese contributions to the United States, I grew up in a Japanese American community. And so this was part of our daily life, inspiring me. And even though cultural appropriation has been a lot in the news and it's a controversial issue, I think this is a perfect example of culture sharing with one another for each of us to take the best of what the other has to offer and make it our own so that we all grow and prosper as a result.
And John, with that said, what inspired the art piece that you have on display?
There are a couple of different pieces. And in both cases, Talking about different cultures again, Japanese culture, of course, is natural to me. That's what I was trained in and raised with. But I've also very much enjoyed Benin culture and pre-Columbian cultures, and also just cultures from many different parts of the world. So I think you'll see in one of the main ones that there is Japanese culture. There are the folk tales illustrated in the Urashima Taro portion of it, but there's also Coptic imagery incorporated, sort of allude fact of how all these cultures wound up in Japan. Japan being the end of the Silk Road, everything wound up accumulating there, was embraced and made part of the Japanese culture, just as the United States now is the melting pot of many cultures.
Mm. And about how long does it take to make a piece of art like this, John?
That depends on how much procrastination is thrown in. But if you count the designing and the carving of the stencil and the making of the dies and the application and, you know, on and on and on, well, some of my pieces have taken 5 years or more. And I know, speaking for one or two of the other artists, they put as much time into theirs as well. Not everything requires that much. If you have a library of stencils already prepared, well, you've saved some time. If you have last year's harvest of dies, well, that saves some time. But those are just savings account towards the future project. It really does take quite a bit of planning and time to accomplish any of these projects.
Amy, you had mentioned in the beginning of our conversation that the katazomi had traditionally been used for like kimonos. So what is that, what the traditional use was for, or the dyeing process, or were there other things as well that this was used for?
Traditionally for kimono and other applied arts later on, there were periods mm-hmm. where katazome, for whatever reason, whether it was war or other disturbances in the process, declined and it was revived again. And there's a long history of that happening, revived in different ways, whether it was through kimono application or other applied arts. And John can really speak to some of the long history there.
Yeah, so John, talk to us a little bit about the history of it.
Well, if you think that if you consider that katazome means dyeing, you know, stencil dyeing, as Amy mentioned, you'll find that anything to which a stencil image may be applied has been used for that. It was used in leather work, where actually lacquer was applied through the stencil to deer skin for different suits of armor for decorative purposes. It's been used for the most common folk in terms of the indigo-based pastry-resist images, but it's also been used in the most exquisite forms of Kyoto-style textiles, used for household appliances, bedding, furniture, draperies, anything that humans choose to decorate. Katazome has been used for this whole range of artistic expression.
So, John, is this still a common practice?
Well, yes and no. Like any living art, it does change and evolve with time. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. many of the people that I've dealt with, sometimes I've dealt with their family for several generations, they're dying off. A lot of the traditional tools simply aren't available to us anymore. One of the brush dyers that I purchased from died. So that dried up my source. Mm. In the mm-hmm. 1990s, I was notified by the last manufacturer of one of the ingredients for the rice paste resist that they were closing down. It wasn't going to be manufactured anymore. So I bought enough to last me the rest of my lifetime. That doesn't necessarily help my students, though.
But John, how important is it to keep this art form alive and do something like you did, where you make sure you have enough of this?
Well, we adapt. You have to. Any folk craft is made from things around you, okay, by definition. Now, one of the purposes of having this type of work on exhibit is to show people how you can take and adapt and keep alive art form and still show it the proper respect. It has to adapt to our lives. I think that the work that Cheryl Lawrence does in the exhibit is a perfect example. Mm-hmm. She's someone that had no experience directly with Japan other than traveling and so forth. She happened to be a student of mine, but she took her own artistic talent. I gave her the tools and the skills only. It's her own artistic talent, her patience, and her insight that allowed her to take this even one step further away from Japan while maintaining the integrity of the beauty and sharing something with all of us that we would have never had before. So that's how we keep it alive. You make do with this, you substitute that, where the Japanese might have used traditional brushes, we can substitute microfiber cosmetic brushes, you know, and they work just as well. And had the Japanese craftspeople had those available, I'm sure they would have used them.
So, Melanie, what else are you hoping that people take away from this exhibit when they see this?
Well, I love what John is talking about when he's talking about these adaptations, because really that's sort of where the title leads people when it's talking about this migration of Katazome. These artists are from all over the world. They are currently based in Chicago, Australia, Japan, Washington State, California, New York, and Germany. And they're really using the Katazome technique that originated in Japan to open a dialogue that is related to a range of themes that are truly very individual to each artist. So that includes nature, human nature, consumerism, social and international relations, personal identity, the environment, and cultural heritage. And so I hope that people will see that this ancient tradition has really migrated and evolved, and it is still relevant to our lives today.
Melanie, I only have about 30 seconds left. Very quickly, how long will the exhibit be at the museum?
The Katazome Migrations of a Japanese Art will be up through January 28th. And we hope that people will spend the summer and the fall coming back again and again and again to see these beautiful, beautiful works of art.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.